bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be here where we can have the right kind of fellowship. I'd like to look, if you want to follow with us, over into the book of Daniel and the very last chapter, Daniel 12. Chapter, start with verse 1. Let's just bow our heads for prayer before we begin here. Father, we thank thee again this morning for thy tender mercy to us. We thank thee for the touch of God in each one of our lives. And we pray that thou will open the word to our hearts and help us, dear Lord, that we might be inspired to live a holy life and a closer walk with thee. Just be especially near us today, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I'd like to think this morning as we start to read this chapter of the thought of plenty of time and deadlines. I don't know if any of you like deadlines or not. Sometimes it doesn't matter, and sometimes it is sort of strenuous on us. All right, let's begin here in the first verse of Daniel 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half. And when he shall accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now he's speaking about a time when that great archangel Michael is going to stand up, and a time, he said, it's going to be a time of trouble. It's going to be a time as never was. And then he speaks about a time when his people's going to be delivered. And many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's going to be the end of time. The last great day is what he's speaking about here. And for some, it's going to be wonderful. In verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But then he told Daniel here, he says, shut up the words and seal the book even to the end, the time of the end. And then he mentions that there's going to be many running to and fro, and knowledge is going to be increased. And so it wasn't even all revealed to Daniel, what he's speaking here about. But this was one of the signs of the times, that there's going to be many running to and fro, and knowledge increased. Knowledge increased. It's been incredible in this world that we're living in, the technology that they've been using. And I still don't understand it myself, where you can get on a computer and you can just bring anything in about it. You can ask it questions and it can answer about any kind of a question that you have for it to answer. You can use it. You can look up books. I was thinking about the incident. How many of you ever read the book Peace Child? Peace Child. Okay, there's a number of you have. I think we used to have it in our bookstore. And I can't locate it in our house. I was thinking about that story in connection with what we're talking about today. But all kinds of things that are available through technology and through knowledge, and yet many seeking knowledge, ever learning and never coming to the place where they can learn of God and be wise spiritually. You know, they may have DDs and PhDs and all the other things that go with college learning and be held way up in the sight of men, and yet the little wash lady that can hardly eke out a living, but she knows her Savior, and she knows how to get alone and pray, and she knows what it means to have the glory of God come down to her heart. And as she can talk to him and he can talk to her, she has a treasure that all of those PhDs and DDs and rich men don't know anything about. Something, a treasure that all of us can have. That's what we can have, the wisdom that this world doesn't have. But it's a time of trouble, he said, just before the end time. And the people of God can look up, for the redemption draweth nigh. It's even at the door. When we see these things taking place in front of us, we know that Jesus is about ready to come on the scene again, his second coming. And then he said, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I'm not sure what all is included there, but I believe that the saints of God are going to be in their glorified bodies, and they're going to shine throughout all eternity. I doubt that we're going to have the kind of gold that we have down here. I think the gold in heaven is going to be so purified that the gold we have down here wouldn't even match it. Streets of gold, the scripture speaks about, and the very glory of God coming down and being that which simply binds us all together as we have gathered together over on the other side. Now he told Daniel, he said, go thy way in verse 9, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now I'd like to turn over into Revelations, if you want to look over into the 10th chapter of Revelations. Thinking about deadlines, I was thinking here the other day, a lot of times when we go into the post office, I don't know why it is that, I hope you're not this way, but some of us have this thing of, well, we need to do this and this and this, and we're going to get there at the right time to try to get our mail. And if there's a package, while the window's still open, we want to be able to get our mail, where we won't have to go back. And so we got so many things we want to try to do in the meantime. It's going to take 10 minutes to get to the post office. And so away we go. And what happens? The train pulls in front of us. Or somebody goes down the middle of the road and we can't get around them. And we're faunching at the bits and we got to get there and we're just about to run out of time. And there was supposed to be something coming in the mail that I really need to get today. But why didn't we just start 15, 20 minutes early at least, 30 minutes early? And then we don't have to worry about it. But I don't know what it is, but anyway, there's a lot of human beings sort of push this thing. And I think I've got plenty of time. Just as long as I have time to get there before she closes that big old gate, then I'm fine. As long as I can get back in there and get my mail out of there and I have the little yellow slip that shows that I got a package and slap it on the desk before she does it and I've got it. I can see the look come across their face sometimes when you go in and do that. And, you know, sort of close their eyes. It's sort of like we feel, I've seen some of the ones at Byler's stand back there and people come in and somebody with their hair all messed up and flying in the door and get up to the desk and they lay their list down here and say, I need this. I really need this today. I got my truck with me. I got my trailer with me. And the fellas are just getting ready to go home and we're just ready to close up, but they made it just inside the door. And, you know, we love that list of materials that we sell. That's the only way we make a living. That pays the employees and everything. But sometimes after they've worked maybe already 8-10 hours a day, they're just beat. And they're ready to go home. But I've seen them a lot of times. They'll get out there and they'll stay another hour or two getting something ready. But what is a little bit hard is when somebody calls in the last moment and says, I got to have it right now, get it all ready, and we try to get it all ready. And the next day, you know, it's on their trailer, and they don't come for it. The next day, they don't come for it. And maybe it's sitting there for 2, 3, 4 days. And the poor fellow say, now, wait a minute, I thought they wanted it the other day. Plenty of time for people of sort of plenty of time. The other day I went to the bank, took a deposit in, and a lot of times I like to be there, be sure it's recorded on today's date. This day, there's nothing really pushing, but I still like to get it recorded on this day and swear it's not the next day. And when I got in there, I didn't think I was going to make it. And I went through, and she took the deposit and sent the little slip back, and I took the little slip and looked, and I think it said it was either 4 o'clock, and it was either 4 seconds after or 14 seconds afterwards. So I just missed it. I'm not sure if it was 4 o'clock. I think it would still count the next day if it's a few seconds afterwards. But, you know, down here in this world, if I miss the time getting the deposit in, it'll be counted for tomorrow, so no, it's no big deal. And if I miss 11 o'clock deadline when I go to the post office, then I just have to wait another hour while they're eating their meal. And so I can go eat my meal and then come back and I can pick it up, and that's no problem. And Friday night, or Saturday, is a little bit more of a situation that I for sure like to get my Saturday meal before 11 o'clock. Otherwise, I have to wait all weekend before, if I'm going to get a package or a check is coming in, I have to wait the rest of the week or the weekend. But when we think about plenty of time, this is one deadline that we don't ever dare want to miss. And there's really a sleepy atmosphere around us, just sort of spiritual sleepiness. People sort almost like they're drugged to sleep. Sleepiness. And I'm afraid our being used to procrastinating down here in this world, if we're not really careful, it gets over into our spiritual life. And maybe we think, well, I've got plenty of time to have my devotions today. I need to, whatever men do, whether they shave and comb their hair and look in the mirror and try to get all ready and be sure their collar is straight. And I've got 30 minutes now. I think I'm going to be able to get this all lined out. And, you know, there's just one thing after another can just slip in. And next thing we thought, well, I still got 15 minutes. I think I can read a chapter in 15 minutes. And, you know, we get all squirmed around and get everything ready and sat down and get our Bible open. We've got 5 minutes. Oh, I think I can still get that chapter written in 5 minutes. But you wonder how much we're really getting out of it when we skim over it and just whiz through it. And we give the Lord a little bit of our leftover time. And so we managed to get this chapter in and read maybe in 6 or 7 or 8 minutes, and then we're just a little bit late in what we're going to do. May the Lord help us. Let's look at this 10th chapter of Revelation. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, I can't imagine this. I don't know if you can. But he come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. His face was as it was the sun, must have been terrifically bright. His feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. I wonder what the thunder sounded like back then or what it will sound like. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there shall be time no longer. It's all over. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll find out it's laid out in sets of seven. Seven churches, seven vials, seven angels, all of them in seven. And if you look at it carefully as you go through there, right towards the sixth and the seventh, whatever it is, seals, angels, you'll find out that it's coming right down to the time of the end. Time after time, it speaks about the sun being blotted out, the moon turning to blood, the stars falling from heaven, and the end of time. And then it'll start over on the next set of sevens, and it'll go through, and right at the end, it'll do the very same thing. So there's God's time. He has 6 days that we're going to have to prepare, to get ready. 6 days this old world has been there, 6,000 years. And then the endless last day of either an endless eternity in heaven, an eternal day with God, or an endless time lost without hope. And that's the second death, and we don't have to partake of that. Now, I'd like to particularly, I was thinking about time, I'd like to look over into Luke. In Luke, the 12th chapter, I'd like to start here in verse 15. Many times I've, and I think I've mentioned this before, the young man that works at the post office, we've discussed it several times. We come flying in to get our mail, and I mentioned to him, you know, I wonder if this is not going to be like what it's going to be when we, down that, on the last day, people's going to, here they come, going to try to make it in. Well, let's listen to this scripture here. And he said unto them, Luke 12:15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I shall say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. And I mentioned this to my wife the other day, yesterday. We went into Springfield. We have all these nice people that are giving us some of these little gift cards where we can go into some of these scrumptious eating places in Springfield and try to not gain any more weight. And as we were, I don't know if we were coming or going, but there was about four different places, and I said, we don't go to Springville very much. We've got to get this taken care of. And so it's either Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, Red Lobster, or Cracker Barrel. Now, where do you go? Well, my wife suggested, why don't we start on this end? And if this one's full, then we'll go to the next one and go on until, you know, we find the right place. Well, we went to the wrong place. We didn't stop at Olive Garden. We didn't stop at Longhorn's Steakhouse. We thought, well, we'll stop at Red Lobster. Well, we got in the parking lot and looked around. This thing is full. It's going to be terrible. But we're already here. We might as well go. So we pulled into a parking place and went inside. Sure enough, all these people standing around. And so he wanted to know our name and how many there was. And so we had our seat by all the others that are sitting around. The place must have been clear full. And as one family would go out, they'd let another one go in. Another one go out, and another one go in. And so finally we got all situated. And I get in some of those places and I don't even know how to do things exactly. They give you those little things that you're supposed to either put your money in and your card or your gift card, and you're supposed to either let them take it back, or we used to just go up to cash register and they took care of it. But everything's sort of different anymore. Some of you young ones, you do it all the time, so it's no big deal. And then we got a pick, so we opened the thing up, and wow, that meal, that's $30. And expensive, really expensive. And anyway, I said, well, we're here. We might have don't want to eat hamburgers here. We might as well eat what we can eat. So I ordered something like the Admiral's, whatever it was. Anyway, it didn't cost $30, and it didn't even cost $20, but it was $19.99. So that made it sound better. And we got all ready and had a nice meal, and I couldn't eat it all, so we got put it in a little to-go thing and brought it along. And then as we were leaving, I think I mentioned it, and you know, that's sort of the way that the scripture says about taking their ease, eating and drinking and being merry. And then in the 24th chapter of Matthew, it speaks about in Noah's time, how that clear up until the very day that the rain started pouring down and the fountains of the deep started breaking up, they were eating and drinking and being merry and marrying and giving in marriage right up until that time. But you know, we want to be aware of what's going on. We want to be aware of what time it is. That time is just about run out. God's great clock, I don't think will ever reach the midnight hour, because the scripture says that except that time was shortened, that there'd be no flesh saved. And I think for the saints' sake, that the time will be shortened. It'll never hit the midnight hour. I believe that it'll be shortened and time will come to an end. And eternity will begin and time will be no more. Eternity. This man, he says, I got these great barns, but they're not big enough for all my fruit and my goods. So I'm going to just tear them down. Who ever heard of tearing down good, nice barns that really work? If it's me, I would go build another barn over here or add on to them or something. But he said, just tear these barns down, get rid of them, want some nice bigger barns that'll take care of all the goods that I have. Then he said, I'm going to set back, and he said, I'm just going to take my knees and eat and drink and be merry. And he was talking to his soul. He said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. You're all set. Now you can retire. And I forget who it was. I was hearing yesterday, well, maybe just this morning, one of the ministers maybe was talking about it. Somebody just getting ready to retire. And all kinds of calamities, broken leg and pulled muscles and I don't know what all. Just getting ready to enjoy life, the golden years, retire. And so many times I've seen things like that happen. And a neighbor over here, he and his wife went traveling all around, but they both came down with cancer. And they had to come back for operations. And, you know, it didn't look too much like golden years. But we can plan to and prepare for a better world and not plan to retire down here in this world. We need to work till Jesus comes. There's no place to retire. Somebody said you need to refire or put on new tires, but get ready to work harder until the Lord calls you out of this world, and then we can retire for eternity. Those who are saints of God, that's where they've planned to be, is in eternity with God. Eat, drink, and be merry. But we have to be careful, or we get overcome with this type of thing to where that we have more time for pleasure than we do for the Lord. And there are a lot of people who have lost their souls because they didn't have enough time with the Lord. They didn't have enough time to spend time being sure that everything is in order, that everything is right. And they came up to the end and things weren't in order. And they left this world and people didn't know where they went to. I've often wondered sometimes if our eyes could be opened at some of our funerals, not just ours, but all around wherever we go, we might have some real surprises, and it might really shock some of us into getting down to business. This is nothing to play about. This is real. This is eternity. But after this rich man said this, he's got the, what do they say? The world by the tail? Or I hear him talk about this man's in control. You see some rich man walking into Byler's, and they just, one man I remember, he just as cocky as can be and about a ring on every hand, every finger. And the fellow's looking, oh, here comes so-and-so. And certain ones would start disappearing real fast because they didn't want to meet with this fella. Well, you know, finally, those rich men, I've known some of them, I've talked to some of them. And sometimes, even back in an office away from anyone, all of a sudden I realized that they got gobs of money in the bank. One man built a big building up here that I don't think he ever did use and was going to rent out to somebody. And yet he came in and was telling me about his physical problems. And it wasn't a little bit later that I heard that he slipped out into eternity. You know, you can think you got the world by the tail, you got everything lined up. I hear them talk about getting their ducks in order, in line. I think it was Dorcas sent me a picture of some little ducks. And I said something about her having her ducks in order. But I said, it's going to be hard to keep them little things in order. They were just going every which way. That's sort of the way life is with us sometimes. It's hard to keep in order, especially if we don't lean heavy on the Lord. But God said unto him, and this is something that God can really say, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, but Lord, he just said to his soul that I have much goods laid up for many years. I can just take it easy and really retire. But, and that's where everything changes, when God becomes involved and says, I've given you enough time. I've showed you the way. You have the scriptures. You have the faithful preachers. You have the old prophets. You have the godly examples of saints, the saints of God. And the time now is run out. And give an account for the deeds that are done in the flesh. And at that point, it's out of control for us. We're going to have to give an account for the deeds that are done in the flesh. And I hope this stirs us. If you're a real Christian, I hope this stirs you that you want to be more diligent. You want to draw closer to the Lord. You want to have plenty of time for your devotions. That you don't want to put it off to the last moment. That you don't get this idea that I've got plenty of time, but that truly you take time to be holy. The world is rushing on, and if we don't take time to be holy, we won't be holy. This man did not take time to be holy. And then he said, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'd like to look again over into the 16th chapter of Luke. I was thinking about this. It just came to my mind last night. The last number of days, I don't know what it is, but I really had something wrong in my back or my hip, and I didn't know what I was. It was like a kidney stone, or I went to one chiropractor, and he did whatever he did, and then I went home, and I could lay down for a couple hours and have to just get up. My back and my hip hurt so that I couldn't lay down. I could get up and around. And then, see, yesterday I went to another chiropractor, and he really worked hard and massaged and pushed and all the other things that go with it. And it felt good. And then we went into Springfield. I tell you, when something's wrong with your body, it doesn't matter how much money it takes to get it taken care of. Some of you know what I mean. Some of you all have been to Mayo Clinic and some of the high-priced outfits. You don't worry about that. You want to get something lined out. If you're hurting, doesn't matter. I was looking online for these. I'd heard Brother Wayne say about Dr. Billings' roller table, that it just rolls and he can just go in there and just go to sleep on that. Well, I went in there and I want to try this thing out. If it's good enough, I might just get me one. And then Ann and I, whenever something gets out, we just crawl on this roller table and get it all lined out. Well, I got on this roller table and laid down expecting to have this nice soothing thing. And I don't know if it's because I'm older and got more of a hump back or what. It did fine until it got up in there, and it just about raised me up in the air, and it didn't feel good. And I thought, I'm not going back to that. I'm not getting on that again, and I don't want one like that. So I went to the other chiropractor, and I asked him about it. Well, he said they've got these chairs that are massage chairs, and they got rollers in the back and just do real good, and even rollers on the bottom of your feet. I'm not sure how that'd do. Not sure if I could hold still. But anyway, he told me all about it and pulled it up on his computer, and I looked down there, and $3,000-some. But you know the way I was feeling, $3,000, so what? If it'd make me feel better. It's not that I got it to spend, but you know, you get hurting bad enough, you'll do a lot of things. And so I thought, well, there's a couple places in Springfield. I think I know where a couple of them are. I've seen a couple of them when I was looking for a lift chair for my mother. And I want to try them out before I spend that much money on them. And so we took a little drive. After we went to the Red Lobster, then we took our little drive. I think my patient wife, she wishes I would hurry up. Let's get on home. There's so many things to get done, you know. Anyway, we just got to take your time and enjoy yourself. So we went one place, another. No, they don't have them. Or they don't have anything. But she said, there is a place over here that they have this little setup. You can just actually pick it up and set it right down in your chair. And she borrowed one from her neighbor when she got her back really out, and this really worked, and it has the rollers, it has all this in the back that will massage. So I went in there, I had my wife sat down and try it out, and I tried it out. That's all right. I didn't have to pay $3,000. I just paid, it wasn't even $300, I paid $290-some for this. Now, that was a real deal. And brought it home, and that really felt good. Just really felt good. But the problem is, at night, same problem. And last night, I thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to. have to call Murray early and tell him he's going to have a longer opening. Now, I don't want to do that. But I was hurting. I was hurting bad. And I got up early. That was one thing about it. I don't know, it was about 5 o'clock, I think. And just got around. I thought, well, I have more time to read and pray. And I think the Lord just worked it all out. Because as I begin to study and prepare this morning, it's all gone. I felt relief. And I felt the Lord undertook. It wasn't that little thing, that little massage outfit, and it wasn't those chiropractors. They had their deal. But all they did didn't relieve that awful pain that got me up again last night. And I didn't see how in the world I was coming here today. But I was thinking of this scripture when he said, in the 16th chapter of Luke, this rich man in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And I had to think, you know, I was beginning to wonder, and I don't know what's ahead for me. I mean, this is something, this was a constant pain. It didn't just come and go. I mean, it was just like a burning down there. And it was constant pain. And you try to move this way and move that way. And you know what? Some of you know what Painitrate is. Melaleuca Painitrate, you rub that all over it, and it gets all warmed up. And supposed to feel better, and you you take the natural things like tart cherry, which is supposed to relieve pain. Instead of taking one like you're supposed to, I took 2 of them, and then I thought, well, I'm going to take an aspirin. I don't want to take many of them; they're liable to tear my stomach up. So I took 1 of them, and then in the middle of the night, I was hurting. So my wife was up, and I said, "Do you have any of those extra strength Tylenol?" Yes, she did. So she brought it in there, and I took 1 of those. And as far as I could feel, it didn't help at all. Now, she said that I went to sleep after that, so maybe it did. I don't know. But just to think of a man that's going from pleasure to pain. He had everything. He fared sumptuously. And Lazarus was tormented. Lazarus, the only comforters he had was the dogs that licked his sores. And now he's in pain. He's in torment. He's begging Lazarus, this man that he maybe wouldn't even speak to, this lowly beggar. Now he's begging Abraham, just send this Lazarus and let him, don't bring a glass of water, just a tip. Dip his finger in the water and just bring 1 drop and put it on my heart, my hot, tortured tongue. Folks, today, if anybody tells you when you leave this world that if you were bad, you just burn up, you tell them that it's a lie from hell. It's not of God. This certain rich man, he raised his eyes up, being in torment and begging for mercy. And it was something that he wasn't going to be able to get over just by going to a doctor or getting a massage thing. But it was going to go on. And here we are today, I don't know how many years later, he's still there, still suffering, probably still begging for water, and no hope of ever getting out of there. Now, I can't comprehend that. I don't really think any of us can comprehend it. But how serious it is that we don't put off our salvation until later. We don't procrastinate. We don't dare miss it. Whatever it takes, if people make fun of us, if we've got to confess our sins, the devil will say, well, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to call you goody-goody. They're going to this and that. So what? Do we want to spend eternity with that type of people that would be like that? May God help us today. He all of a sudden became a missionary and wanted, he begged Father Abraham to go back, to let Lazarus go back. He had five brethren. He said, lest they come to this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I don't know if you all would have happened to have seen the little clip on, oh, it's some time back now, a week or so, where down in, I think it's Fort Smith, Arkansas, they were having a big flood. Now, I've mentioned this a couple of places. I mentioned it to OCC and it was down in Summersville and mentioned it. It really something. Lady was out passing out papers in her vehicle and she got down in some deep water and it was back between some apartments and I guess she didn't realize that the parking lot tapered off and the water got deeper until her motor died. And there she was, and that water was getting deeper, and it was getting deeper and deeper. And she quickly called 911, and the 911 lady answered. She had already turned in her 2 weeks deal that she was going to be quitting, this 911 lady did. But I think this was her last day. And this lady came on, and she says, I need somebody to help me fast. She said, I'm down in this water and it's coming up fast on me. She said, I'm scared. She said, I don't want to die. She said, I'm scared. I need somebody to come fast. And the other lady said, well, just a minute. You've got to wait your turn. And she said, well, I need somebody fast, somebody to come, somebody to help me. She said, I've never gone through anything like this before. Finally, the 911 lady told her to shut up. She was very rude to her. And here is a soul that was just ready to go into eternity. And a rude person, very unconcerned. Oh, I hope that we're not so busy that people want to talk to us and they need somebody to listen to them. That we're just so busy. We just can't do it right now. We're too busy. I tell you, if somebody has a need, everything else should be second place. And we should be willing to sit down and to listen, to help. And she said, oh, she said, won't you help me? Won't you help me? She says, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. She said, well, it's clear up in there. It's coming in. It's in my car and it's getting clear up around my shoulders. And she said, I'm scared. I'm afraid I'm going to die. And I can't express it like what she did because she was in there and she knew where she was and what was about to happen. And the 911 lady said something, I don't know what, but then she came back and she said, would you pray for me? Well, that's sort of stunning, you know, to ask somebody that's acting like that lady was acting. And she says, well, I'll listen to you pray. And so that poor lady in the water, she prayed that God would help them to find her. And I can't remember all that she said, but she prayed her prayer. And I don't know if it's the last prayer that she ever prayed. I'm wondering as if the waters got higher, if she wasn't praying to the Lord then, that God, you know, he reaches out to us in mercy. He draws us, I believe, until we have our last breath. And that don't mean we need to wait till our deathbed to try to get right with the Lord. But the Lord in his mercy wants every one of us to make it home. And then all of a sudden in the background, I could hear this sort of a hysterical cry, a couple cries, and everything was quiet. And the other lady, the 911 lady said, are you there? Are you there? Are you still there? Then they showed the people going out into the parking lot trying to find her. And down in the water, and the police and the firemen having to take their belts off and wade on in there. And they saw a car clear at the end. and all that was sticking up was the top, and the dome light was still on. And they went down in, but the lady was gone. She had drowned. Now that was a physical death, and that was horrible. But can you imagine someone that's slipping out into eternity? And it's not just a physical death, but it's eternal death if they're not right with the Lord. And I tell you, if we put off our day of salvation and we're not living in fear and trembling before the Lord and giving ourselves entirely to Him, and if we're real Christians praying that we can stay close to God, this is a day of awful. It's a perilous times for the Christians. It's perilous times. If we don't stay on top of things, get down on our knees and humble ourselves before the Lord and have God's help, we won't make it. Because the enemy, he's determined to knock every single one of us out. It doesn't matter who you are. And if you're too busy to get ready and to stay ready for heaven, you won't make it, and I won't make it. It's going to take a diligent walk with the Lord and a walking in the truth and being yielded and obedient to Him. We can't get to heaven wanting our own way, but it's God's way is best. I will not murmur. God's way is best. Let's kneel in prayer.